Bibles in the book of Psalms, the 8th Psalm, I want us to think a little bit about this morning the enormity of God, just how big is our God. Sometimes in life we become overcome with circumstances and situations and events that transpire. And we wonder how much of a problem this is, how big this is. But I want you today to think with me for just a few minutes about the enormous God who has loved us, saved us, and given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that we may be able to love Him, rejoice, and trust Him in all the affairs and events that transpire in this world, for He has never abdicated the throne of absolute dominion over one thing in the totality of His creation. He is God over all, and we may rejoice in that. Now, as we read this 8th Psalm this morning, I want you to think about that little shepherd David, who God would make to be king. The sweet song writer of the book of Psalms, probably about half then, somewhere in the 75 range that David penned, and then others the other. Many think that this was probably the first psalm that David was ever inspired to write. And as we read it, my mind goes back to that young lad as he had been blessed of God to overcome a lion and a bear who had thought they would have some lamb chops for a meal. But instead of that, I believe David met them and destroyed them by the enablement of his great God and came out victorious, and no sheep were destroyed. Instead, the enemies were defeated. And so we find this young lad, and in my mind, I can almost see him out on the hillsides around his dad's home. Our brother Jesse, as he sent David to look after his sheep, and David was a faithful shepherd to those sheep, as he would protect them, provide for them in all their ways. But as they calmly, patiently, faithfully fed down in the valley, as David lay upon one of the hillsides there in Judea, he glanced up into the magnitude of heaven. And on that starlit night, we can see and envision that young lad David looking up and thinking about God. And read with me these words of the 8th Psalm, just a few, and we'll read it. I want you to think of that picture in your mind as we read this tonight, this morning. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Verse 3, David says, when I consider Thy heavens. Now, whose heavens is it? Not man's, not Satan's, but God. David said, it is Thy heavens, God's heavens, all of them, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which Thou hast ordained. As he looked up into that starlit night, seeing the moon and all the stars that were visible to his naked eye, probably somewhere in the realm of 7,000 to 10,000 stars may be viewed on a clear night, according to some of the authorities. Now, I don't know. I've never counted. You understand that? I'm depending upon some of the authorities that I can find over the internet. And they say that on any night, depending upon where you are, what your elevation is, and various things like that,
you could view with the naked eye somewhere 7,000 to 10,000 stars in the sky above us. And David said, what is man? Or what am I? David thought, in the enormity of God's creation, that moon up there, the stars that I cannot begin to number and count, what am I? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? But thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Now I want you to understand that when we read the book of Hebrews, we learn that David, when he speaks of the Son of Man, he was speaking of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For in the book of Hebrews, the writer there says, of the Lord Jesus Christ, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. And there is a specific reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, eternal being, creator of it all, who spoke the world and all that therein is into existence in 6 days, and then rested on the seventh to set an example for us who would come and love him. And thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord. You join David in that declaration?
Amen.
Is God your Lord this morning? If he is, I want you to know that we can trust him, depend upon him, and he shall surely fulfill all the great promises he has given us, and not one shall fail in all that he has said. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now I want to think for a little bit with me this morning, just by way of opening the thoughts, about just how huge, and you got to think big now, God's creation is. I wonder how many stars, if we could see roughly 10,000 or so of them on any given night, how many stars are there? And of course, no one knows save God. Okay? But there have been some tax dollars spent to try to determine how many stars that they can see with all of this space exploration that has been done, all the photographs that have been sent back, and all the research that man has spent billions and billions of dollars trying to find out. My personal opinion is they're looking for the end of God's creation, where they can say, we've gone all the way to the end, and there is no God. But they'll never get there. They tried it with a tower of Babel before, but they didn't make it. And man will never find a way to get into the place of God unless he comes through and by the Lord Jesus Christ and his life and precious blood to cleanse him from all of his sins, and to make him accepted in the beloved. Now that is the only way to ever go into the presence of God, the great God that David speaks of. When I consider the heavens, they're just a work of your hand. You know, the book of Genesis, it describes to us God's creation. It is as it were, in one of the last verses that, and by the way, he made the stars also, in case you want to know. As if that were a byproduct, or by act, has nothing at all. In my research, I found that it is saying that there are approximately 10 times the number of stars as there is cups of water in all of the oceans on the planet Earth. For every cup of water in every ocean on earth, there's 10 stars out there for every cup. That sound big? The calculation that they gave us would be somewhere in the million of 2.216 trillion. I don't know what that means. That didn't mean anything to me. So I went a little further and I found out that basically it is 20 with 210 zeros after it. I don't know if you can see that number or not. Now think big. God is big. God's creation is big. We live in a galaxy in God's creation. It's called the Milky Way. The Milky Way is so huge that it must be measured in light years, not miles. If we were to think about miles, one light year is equivalent to almost 6 trillion miles. Now that's right, Dad, that the speed of light is 184,000 miles per second. That's fast. By any measure, that's fast. You multiply that by 60, the 184,000 by 60, and you have a light minute. You multiply that number by 60, and you have a light hour. You multiply that number by 24, and you have a light day. Multiply that by 365, you have a light year. Almost 6 trillion miles in one light year. It is thought that our Milky Way is between 100,000 and 200,000 light years across. Man says they have been to the moon. But do you know that's less than walking out the door in God's creation? There are literally thousands of galaxies. Now, the Milky Way is one of the larger ones. But it is a huge creation. We don't imagine how great our God is when He took nothing and spoke everything into being just by the power of His will. Now, can we trust Him?
Amen.
Yes, He's sufficient power to take care of me, you, our loved ones. Our God, whom we serve, is not a little God. He is not a puny God. He is the great God, the sovereign ruler of it all, and beyond Him, there is nothing. I like visual learning because I am a visual learner. Now what I've got here is just a little Ziploc bag of sand. Just plain ordinary sand. To give you some inkling, it's the best I can imagine, I'm going to try to get 1 grain out of this bag. Now, 1 grain of sand doesn't look like much to us, does it? But this grain of sand, by our estimation and our evaluation of things, is smaller than the earth in God's economy. Do you understand that? By comparison to God's creation, this grain of sand is larger to us than earth's creation at all. On this little speck of sand that has been here now for about 6,000 years, there dwells David. And David said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your hand, what is man?" We think that we're something. We stand on this little piece of sand for 60 or 70 or 80 or maybe 100 years. That is 1/60th of the time since God created this earth, heavens, and all that therein is 6,000 years ago. And we think
we're really something important and mass. Friends, I want you to know not only how enormous God is, but how caring, how loving God is. We walk across these sands, grains of sands, and think nothing whatsoever about it. But God looked and saw me. God looked and saw you on this little speck of sand. And David thought, as he looked into that starlit night, what is man that you think about him? Ain't that a question? What is man? What are we that this enormous God, beyond any comprehension or a description that man could ever give? Nothing. Nothing that we could ever imagine could define God adequately is impossible. And yet, as great as He is, and as insignificant as we could be, God said, I love you, and I'm going to redeem you, because I love you. Why? Because I set my love upon him. Therefore, I will call you. I will save you. I will keep you. I will live in you. I will be with you. I am the great God. Who is man? What is man? That's a good question now. We ought to think about it. I'll give you some idea about the enormity of God and how finite we really are. Word of God declares that we are nothing more than the dust of the balances. When you go to buy something that is sold by the pound or ounce, whatever, anymore, just go about and have to start pricing about a half ounce so we can about all we want to buy. Oh, great, it's going up. But notwithstanding, do you care whether there's a little dust article or two laying on the scales? God says mankind in totality of his creation really less than the dust of the balances, even the nations. But as small and finite as we are, that great God created an earth with an atmosphere and with the seasons and all that would be good, profitable, and productive for mankind. This planet, God spoke into being and placed us on it in His time, in His place, just because He loved us. Just because God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us, that whosoever believeth on Him should never perish, but have everlasting life. Now, believest thou this? You believe that? What is man? I believe man is one of the most rebellious creatures in all of God's creation. Really? Just consider this. In the totality of all that enormity of God's creation, and man hasn't found the end. They've just gone as far as they could so far. Will they go further? I don't know. But I don't care. They've already showed me enough to know that I serve a big God. And I can trust Him with me and with my loved ones to take care of them. Man, God created man. Only thing, you know this, the only thing that God ever took time to form in His creation of mankind. The angels were just spoken into being. The earth and all of creation was just spoken and it stood. It was. Let there be.
God said, and it appeared. All of it. But man. God formed man from the dust of the earth. And then God did what he did in no other part of his creation. No animal. God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul that would live eternally. Somewhere, forever, without evil. God placed a garden on this planet. And in that garden, he placed Adam, and Adam lived, and he fared well. And then he created a woman, and they lived and fared well, and still they disobeyed God. And it's been downhill for us ever since. God created man, placed him in a perfect utopia. That is a place that had everything that mankind could ever need. And the only thing that God required them was do not touch, nor look, nor eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil which grows in the midst of the garden. Don't distill anything. And we know what we did. In Adam, we all disobeyed God. As a consequence thereof, we are all descendants of that sin-filled nature that we received from our parents, and we have been perpetuating it for many, many, many generations now. And we are, as our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and going back as far as will, we were come forth from the womb as soon as we be born, speaking lies. You say, I don't believe I'm that bad. Well, you are, whether you believe it or not. God is true, and anyone that disagrees with him is wrong. That's all there is to it. You say, well, I don't believe that. You know what that changes? Nothing. I don't know where humanity got the idea that God only exists if they permit him to or recognize him. God's God. It doesn't matter where you believe it or not, where you acknowledge it or not. He's still God. And he is not dependent on us. We are dependent on him. Everything about us. Mankind, and that includes me, and it includes you, have rebelled and sinned against the holy God that created all that there is. Every good thing that we could ever need, God created it on this earth. Man has combined and researched and uncovered and developed many, many things for the good of humanity since the earth was created and man placed on it. But one thing has remained the same, that we are inherently wicked. That is, we inherit that. We do not become sinners simply because we sin, but we sin simply because we're sinners. Now, friends, you say, that doesn't make any difference. Yes, it does. Because we can't charge God with our sin. We do it ourselves. You and I, God loved me. God punished his son, Jesus Christ, for me. His son bore my sins in his body on the tree. He made a full, a completely, a satisfactory atonement for every transgression and disobedience that I've ever committed or ever will commit. Otherwise, I have nothing to offer. Only God could save us. You know whose law we've broken? Well, we can say, man, that's true, but that's not the important thing. God's. We have broken God's law. And it is only God that can forgive us or grant to us a pardon for breaking his law.
What a say.
You understand that? What would you give God to atone for your sins? I got news for you. the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Whatever we've got is His. You say, no, it's not my title, Lord. My name's on the title. My name's on the deed. God's got the official title, official name. It's all His. We don't have a thing to offer. We don't have a thing to add. All we have done with our life is mess it up. Now, I'm old enough to have lived a few years and can see back across a few little time. And I'm telling you that God has been good and I've messed up. And He still loves me. You know how rebellious man is? I not only sinned before and against God, before He saved me, that is, born me again, that is, made me a new creation in Christ Jesus, that is, came to live within my very being, to fill me with His presence and power, to guide me through and by His Spirit, through the revealed Word of God, to show me that I had sinned. God's Word and law was given. And to help me as a sinner, His gospel came. In a day of power, He made me alive and enabled me to believe His record that He's given the Son in the Bible. That tells me that He was born of a virgin, lived a life on this earth of the God-man sinless perfect life among humanity that was so sinful, hateful, hating, mistreated, and everything you can dream of against God's Son. Listen to me. He saved me. He manifested His love toward me and His Son died for me. And you know what I've done since then? I've still seen Him. I've still failed. I've still rebelled. Still yet. You know what? God's grace. What did Romans 6 say? Where grace, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. We shall never out sin the amazing grace of Almighty God. Friends, don't take God for granted. We owe Him everything. And He's only required that we just trust Him. Just rely upon Him. Come to Him, talk to Him, share our needs. He knows. He knows our ups and our downs. He knows our faults before we ever think. And He still says, I love thee with an everlasting love. I'm going to take care of that man. Don't worry about it. I'll be there. Is it anyone that David, when he thought about the enormity of God, he would say, what am I? What am I? I want to just ask you this morning, have you considered how big God is? How little we are? How nothing we are without Him? My precious brothers and sisters, friends, I would today implore you and exhort you that you trust this great God with everything that you have and everything that you go face. He is able.
Amen.
We just sang, for I know whom I have believed. Do you? It's the same God David believed. This same God whose heaven David looked up into. You walk out of this place, when nightfall comes, you go out and you look up. And you say, I don't even see a grain of sand in your creation. How marvelous thou art. How great thou art. Why would you love me so much?
your son would suffer for me the death, the punishments of hell that I deserved, he took them to deliver me from. Now I exhort you, believe that. Believe that. God spoke to your heart if you haven't been. I'm here. I'm here. I want to answer. I want to help. I want to do anything I can. What is man? Well, we're special enough that the only thing God ever made the means of redemption for, man. Humanity. That's it. The angels, who are of much more power and who stand in the presence before God, have no means of redemption. One transgression, and they're doomed to the flames of hell. But man, God so loved us that He made a way that even though we sin, we can have life and have that abundantly. You live here on this earth. I appreciate your presence this morning, and I encourage you to make a full day of it and enjoy the blessings that God has for His children. If you don't know Him, oh, I pray today will be the day of salvation to you. May your life be filled with all goodness and grace. Our Heavenly Father,